Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those words should sound familiar. I use them every Sunday when I begin preaching, but this Sunday we also heard them at the beginning of the epistle reading, as we heard the beginning of Paul's letter to the Philippians. He borrowed these words from me. In fact, I have to confess, I've been plagiarizing Paul every Sunday since I got in the pulpit. In fact, Paul is the first one to use these words, and I borrow his words because they are a greeting that he expresses in love to his letter's recipients. And he uses this greeting, which was the style of the greeting, or the structure was common at the time. It was common and it makes sense. You would identify who the letter was from at the beginning of the letter, as opposed to waiting until the end, unless if you got business letterhead or whatever, right? You learn those who actually took typing. I mean, not this, but typing. We had to learn how to format a business letter, and you'd put, your address up there too, so they'd know who's from. But now, right, in a letter, you'd only sign it at the end. So, which is sort of interesting. It's a better way, right? You tell somebody who it's from right from the beginning. Makes sense. It's like those texts that some of you send. Hi, Pastor, this is so-and-so, and then you tell me, and I'm like, yeah, I know, you're on my phone, but whatever. That's good. That's good, though. It's good to get that out of the way. Anyway. So Paul uses this formula, identifies who the letter is from, in this instance from Paul and Timothy, and then typically there'd be a greeting, but Paul's greeting isn't the typical greeting of the time. Paul's greeting includes this, this offer of grace. Not just a regular greeting, but an offer of grace. And grace is a distinctively Christian word and concept. Grace is unmerited love and concern for another. Not because of what a person has done, but because of who they are. And the grace that Paul extends in his letters and in his life comes from God. For God is the source of all love. You see, we love because God has first loved us. And Paul opens his letters, all of them, with love. Because grace is what motivated him to write the letters, and because love is the foundation of his faith. And it's at the heart of his ministry. Now, this particular letter is likely Paul's second letter that we have within the canon, within the Bible. The first oldest letter is probably his letter to the Thessalonians. But this letter he writes to the Philippians, and he's in prison when he writes. But you may remember that it was a couple of weeks ago that Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and they were in prison. But that's not the prison they're in this letter. When they were a couple weeks ago in Acts 16, when they were in prison in Philippi, you remember Paul had cast a demon out of the slave girl, and her owners got upset because they were making money off of using her to give tell people's fortune or the future. And so then they arrested Paul and Silas, and they drug them before the magistrate, and they end up locking them in the prison. And all night, Paul and Silas sung, and they prayed, and then there was an earthquake, and the doors of the prison opened up. And the jailer thought all the prisoners would have left, but they hadn't left, and for that he was grateful. Any of that sound familiar? And they take Paul and Silas to the jailer's home, and he and his whole household are baptized. That's the community who now Paul is writing this letter to. While he's imprisoned with Timothy, we don't know where. Now, this letter is unique because it is written not to address a problem within the church. All his other letters are written to address some sort of a problem or situation, to correct a behavior or a misunderstanding that was happening in the church. This letter is different. It offers no corrective. It only offers Paul's thanksgiving or appreciation for them and his joy in them. Unlike the other letters that are written to the leaders of those churches as he's addressing the things that he thinks need their attention, knowing that those leaders would share those letters with the rest of the community, this letter is written to the entire community. He writes it to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. He addresses the entire community because he wants all of them to know that they are important to him. But not only important to him, but also important to God and to the mission of God's church. And Paul gives thanks for them, thanking God in his prayers every time he remembers them. And he prays for them not out of duty or devotion, or to empower them, or so that they might grow, all of which he might desire for and from them. But Paul's letter to them, his prayers for them, are full of joy simply for them. And he writes that they have shared in the work of spreading the gospel from the first day until now. And Paul is thankful for that shared ministry. He's thankful to them for their support of him and his ministry, for their prayers for him, for them holding him in their hearts. You see a lot of mutuality here. And they supported Paul's ministry. Not only his ministry outside of prison, but also in the time that Paul was in prison, they would have offered him support. You see, prisons back then weren't as nice as they are today. Not that they're nice today. I read that there's some, in some instances when they were, I mean, we saw this, you see this in the Old Testament, right, where they would put you in a pit to hold you for a while before they took you on to the next place, as they did Joseph, right, and put him in a pit, and then he was sold on. So they would use pits occasionally to hold prisoners, and most of the support a prisoner got when they were in prison came from outside of the prison, came from your family, your friends, other people. And so Paul is writing to thank those people for the support that he was getting in prison. Now, it seems interesting. Paul's writing from prison, but he hardly mentions the fact that he's writing from prison. He doesn't talk about how bad the food is, how bad the conditions are, how much he is suffering. He actually doesn't even seem to be really all that bothered by his incarceration. Instead of focusing upon what he doesn't have, he focuses upon what he is receiving and how his situation might be used to share the gospel. See, Paul sees his time in prison much like he saw it when he was in prison in Philippi that we just remembered together. He saw it as an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to proclaim the good news with those with whom he was imprisoned. Motivated by what had happened when he was in prison in Philippi, Paul also tried to encourage his hearers to be emboldened, to share their faith without fear. No matter what they were going through, that they too might sing and pray in the face of adversity as Paul and Silas had done when they had been in prison previously. Now, Paul is a silver lining guy. Maybe annoyingly so, right? Looking at the bright side of things, right? He doesn't consider his present suffering anything compared to the future joy that awaits him. Yeah, everybody wants to be with a guy like that when things are turning down. When you just want to be miserable and Paul's over there, well, it could be worse. Thanks, Paul. Every setback, Paul, you know, but you do want that kind of person around, that when you're in the midst of the muck and things aren't going as well as you want or might imagine, that to have somebody to remind you that even in the midst of those trials and tribulations, to point to the fact that God is still present. That even in the midst of that we know that what Christ still rises, right? Even in our and on our darkest day. Amidst the pain and challenges of life, there is love. There is grace. There is peace through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. For you see, God has shown God's love for us by accompanying us as he did Paul and Silas when they were imprisoned, and as he is accompanying Paul and Timothy as they're imprisoned in our reading. God accompanies us, and God continues to show God's love for us through our love for each other. And I think that's part of what Paul is trying to get at with his introduction to all of his letters, but especially this love letter to the Philippians. He is encouraging them to love one another as he loves them. And that's the call, right? As Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to offer grace, love for each person as we pray for each person, and we pray for peace with and for each person. Ascension Day is this Thursday. Here we are, Lutheran Church of the Ascension. Ascension Day, anybody know what the Ascension is? Jesus, 40 days after he was raised from the dead, ascends up into heaven. And just prior to his ascension, having been on earth for 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who would come 10 days later on Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection. Well, during Lent, during the 40 days prior to Easter, here we're the 40 days prior to Easter, we as a congregation met, and we spent time in conversation with each other, working on our relational covenant and trying to put it into practice, trying to use that grace acrostic, you remember that? Ringing any bells? To demonstrate our love for one another, to extend grace to one another, to learn what it means to love one another, and to become united in God's love with each other. Our mission statement talks about loving God, one another, and the community. I wonder if we focus already too much on wondering what it means to love God, what it means to love one another, what it means to love the community, without focusing enough on what it means to love. Maybe we've not done a good job of defining love. Well, I think in Paul's context, in our context as Christians, love is grace. Unmerited love for another. Not because of what they've done, but because of who they are. Sister and brother in Christ, as part of a common mission, as part of the church together. And that's what I think Paul is encouraging with his, even in his greeting, he's encouraging the Philippians to have love for one another as he has love for them, as he himself has received love from God through Jesus Christ. Have love for one another, and that's his prayer for them. And just that relationship brings him joy amidst his own suffering. So we spent time looking at our relational covenant and trying to have conversations with each other, difficult conversations that through which we could still see Christ in one another. I hope those conversations had an impact on us as a community. Because I, like Paul, pray to God, thanking God every day, remembering you always in my prayers. Praying with joy for your partnership with me and for one another in the gospel from that first day until now. I pray that we would embrace our mission to love together as we work together to figure out what love is and what does grace look like in this community and to the community around us and the world around us. I pray that we would love each other without judgment, without reservation, without any qualification, simply because of who we are and because we have been loved by the one who is love, the one who has demonstrated love to us, the one who's given his very life for us, the one who washed the feet of the disciples and said, "Go and do the same." For there is no greater love than this, that one would lay down their life for another. What does love look like? What does it look like in our congregation? What does it look like for us as a church, as a mission to love the community around us? Paul prayed that the Philippians' love might overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight. And I think as Lutherans, we hold on to that and say, well, okay, that just means I got to study scriptures some more. But I suggest that with Pentecost a few weeks away, that full insight comes not just from reading Scripture, but it comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit, that promised advocate that arrived on that very first Pentecost and through which the church was established. That we might lean into the Spirit, that the Spirit might work within us to help us define and to figure out what love looks like, and then have the courage to live in love with one another. That your love might overflow. Maybe make a mess. Maybe actually get a little on your neighbors. Paul understood the importance of both the Holy Spirit and the church and the sharing of the good news of the gospel and the sharing of the love that we have been given. And Paul knew that he was not a man on a mission alone, but that he was working with all the saints to share the peace and the grace that comes from knowing and believing in the redemptive power of God's love. May we, like Paul, may we pray for one another, for the unity that we have in Jesus and for the love that we have been given, in order that we too might share it with one another and our community. Amen.